Well, let's begin before we go to our scripture text and the sermon today. Let's read these and say these words together. God's a changing word. Say them out loud with me. For our feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. Amen. His word shall stand forever. Go to our scripture text and title of the sermon, An Incredible Year. Psalm 65 and 11, you crowned the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. What a great word that is. God crowns this new year that we're beginning today with His goodness. Amen. We just received that today. And our paths drip with abundance. Praise God. Praise God. You know, in the South, the folklore in the South is that the food that you eat on New Year's Day is black-eyed peas, right? And you eat black-eyed peas because they bring you prosperity and good luck throughout the year. Now, Sherry and I already had a conversation about when we're going to have our black-eyed peas. We do that every year. The practice of eating black-eyed peas for luck and for prosperity is believed to date back to the time of the Civil War. The black-eyed peas were first planted, really, used for their livestock. It really wasn't so much for food for us, but it was really for livestock. And later, though, it became a food staple in the South. The fields of black-eyed peas were really ignored by Sherman's army and troops as they went through the South, and they stole and destroyed other crops, but they gave the little humble black-eyed peas, they just passed them on by. So they were left behind, and they were nourishing, and they were healthy, and they played a very important role in the source of food for a lot of surviving folks in the South at the end of the Civil War. Well, today, the tradition of eating black-eyed peas for the new year is evolved into a lot of different, I guess, variations or embellishments, and the stories just kind of keep traveling along with black-eyed peas. And so you can see here on the dish above, you can see those black-eyed peas. And if black-eyed peas are served with greens, they might be collard greens or mustard greens or turnip greens. You see in this picture here that the peas represent coins and the greens represent money. And sometimes people will substitute cabbage instead of greens, but I like the greens myself. And then if you put cornbread with it, like you see in the picture here, now the cornbread, that represents gold. So you've got coin, you got money, and you got gold there. And then it goes on, and if you serve stewed tomatoes with it, in this case it just looks like a sliced tomato, but stewed tomatoes served with it, I guess we could pretend the sliced tomato would apply here. It represents wealth and health. So you got wealth and health, and you've got gold, and you've got coins, and you got money, and that's all going to happen to you. All you got to do is eat 365 black-eyed peas on New Year's Day. That's part of the folklore. You got to have 360. You can't just eat a few black-eyed peas. You got to have 365 black-eyed peas. Leap year, that we won't even deal with that right now. But 365 black-eyed peas this year in order to have an assurance that you're going to have wealth and prosperity and good luck for the year. But now, I want to tell you today, as your pastor, in this sermon, I want to impress upon you the importance of what I'm going to do today. Normally, most sermons have three or maybe four sermon points that the pastor brings forward in the sermon. But consistent with this ideal of eating 365 black-eyed peas today, in my sermon, rather than three or four sermon points, I have developed 365 sermon points for this sermon titled An Incredible Year. And I can already see some of you being kind of weary just hearing me say that. I understand that, but just hold on because it's going to be quick. So just hold on to your seats because we're going to do this. All right, everybody ready? Everybody say amen. Amen. Here we go. All right, here we go. First one. Be prayerful. Now, there's sermon points, 365 of them, and every one of them is about a pea. Because if we're talking about black-eyed peas, let's be consistent. So all of these points start with a P. Everybody with me on that? Be prayerful, it says, and be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. In everything, it says. Everything. Everything. Let that just sink in. Everything by prayer. Let your request be known to God. You know, our resolution, if you would, should be that this year, we're going to commit more time to prayer. We're going to commit more time to being on our knees. We're going to commit more time to praying in the Spirit. We're going to commit more time to kneeling and waiting on God. We're going to commit more time to interceding as we pray in the Spirit and interceding for others and their needs. We're going to be more of a prayer warrior this year than we've ever been. We make that commitment today. Some of you remember this prayer I'll share with you. It's called the Cowboy's Prayer. Jake the rancher one day went to fix a distant fence. The wind was cold and gusty and the clouds rolled gray and dense. As he pounded in the last nail, he gathered the tools to go. The temperature had fallen and the snow began to blow. When he finally reached his pickup, he felt a heavy heart. From the sound of that ignition, he knew that old truck wouldn't start. So Jake did what most of us do if we'd been there. He humbly bowed his balding head and sent aloft a prayer. As he turned the key for the last time, he softly cursed his luck. They found him 3 days later, frozen stiff in that old truck. Now, Jake had been around in life and done his share of roaming. But when he saw heaven, he was shocked because it looked just like Wyoming. Of all the saints in heaven, his favorite was St. Peter. Now, this line isn't needed, but it helps with rhyme and meter. So they sit and talked a minute or two, or maybe it was three. Nobody was keeping score in heaven. Time is free. I've always heard, Jake said to Pete, that God will answer prayer. But one time I asked for help, and well, he just plain wasn't there. Does God answer prayers of some and ignore the prayers of others? That don't seem exactly square. I know all men are brothers. Or does God randomly reply without good rhyme or reason? Maybe it's the time of day, the weather, or perhaps the season. Now, I ain't trying to act smart. It's just the way I feel. And I was wondering, could you tell St. Pete, what's the deal? Peter listened very patiently, and when Jake was done, there was a smile of recognition, and St. Pete said, "So you're the one. That day your truck wouldn't start, and you sent your prayer a-flying. You gave us all a real bad time with hundreds of us a-trying. And 1,000 angels rushed to check the status of your file. But you know, Jake, we hadn't heard from you in quite a while. And although all prayers are answered, and God ain't got no quota, he didn't recognize your voice, and he started a truck in South Dakota." Now, we don't want to be like Jake. We don't want to be like Jake that it's been so long since God heard our voice in prayer that he answers the prayer of somebody in somewhere else thinking it's us. Prayer makes an incredible difference in our lives. It makes an incredible difference in the lives that we pray for, the people that we lift up in prayer. The scripture in Matthew 21 and 22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Matthew 7 and 11, if you then being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? A few more scriptures on prayer, James 4 and 2. You do not have because you do not ask. Well, I'm going to tell you, that is so true. Sometimes folks just never get on their knees and go to God for the particular need. James 5, 15 and 16, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up, and the effective, fervent prayer, look at those last words, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer works. Prayer touches heaven on behalf of those that we're praying for. Paul reminds us in his writings in the Bible, Paul tells us that the whole armor of God, think about this, the whole armor of God includes prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18, he writes, praying always, having a heart of prayer every day, all the time, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So I just ask you, when was the last time you shed a tear over some soul that was lost? That you were so burdened that you began to cry and to pray for them? When was the last time you missed a meal in order to pray? When was the last time you fasted and prayed? When was the last time you spent a night in prayer and travail before the Lord? When was the last time you got a hold of God as you were praying and you said, like that great character in the Bible said, oh God, I will not let you go unless you bless me, unless you meet this need, unless you answer this prayer. God can tell when we mean business. You know that? God can tell when we mean business. Oh God, help us to learn the secret of victorious, powerful, intercessory prayer. Amen. We need that. We need that. Well, the second point today, we reach heaven when we pray. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence we have in Him. This is not the second point. This is just one more point about prayer. Now this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We know if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him. I've gone to that scripture so many times in my heart, in my mind, because I realize when I'm praying for somebody that's lost, when I'm praying for my daughter that's lost, I know the Bible says that it is the will of God that none should be lost. And I know when I'm praying for my lost daughter, I am praying according to the will of God. And I know this promise, it says that if we pray on anything that is in line with or according to His will, that He hears and He answers. And I realize that she's still got a free mind and a free will. But I know that when I'm praying for her and others that are lost, that God is sending events and situations and the power of the Holy Spirit and conviction to reach out one more time and to touch that person's heart and say, I love you. Turn to me. I'll forgive you to be the best friend you've ever had. Praise God for that wonderful word today. Amen. Well, the second point then is be positive. Think about God. Look for the good. Listen to the good. Talk about the good. When you think about the good, in Philippians 4 and 8, the Bible says, think on these things. Looking for the good. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus. Well, where are you looking unto today? The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen to the good. Romans 10 and 17. Faith cometh by hearing. But yet millions of Christians even listen to the loud, lewd, lust-filled music, watch TV shows that are dominated by filth and things that are totally contrary to the principles and the morals that God gives us. We must listen to the good. Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of God through His Word. Talk about the good. Psalm 105 and verse 2. Talk of all His wondrous works, the Bible reminds us. You know, negative Christians, and there's Christians out there that just kind of fall into this habit of living their lives in a sort of a negative way. You know it's true because they seem like the source of complaining and finding fault. And when you talk to them, they're continually telling you what's wrong with something. And they discourage themselves by doing that, and they discourage others when they do that. And typically, we don't want to be around folks like that. But then optimistic Christians, folks full of optimism, they're talking about God's goodness. They're talking about God's graciousness. They're talking about the things that God has done, that He's answered prayer, and what He's doing for us today, what He's going to do for us tomorrow by faith. They try to find something good in everything and everybody, because that's just how they are, because that's God's way. And you know, the world offers plenty of opportunity to become negative, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of opportunity in the world to get negative. There's so many people that are just wandering aimlessly. And they're struggling with life's trials, and they're filled with frustration, they're filled with fear, they're filled with uncertainty, and they fail to hold up and to trust in God, and they lose sight of the dreams and the hopes and the ambitions that God placed in their heart, and they just drift from all of that, and they miss out on God's best. When I was in high school back in 1968, I had a job working for Sears and Roebuck in the catalog order department in downtown Dallas on Lamar. And there was a multi-story catalog order warehouse building, and in that building on each floor they had different merchandise and dry goods and things, so that when you order something in the catalog, then the orders were filled from that building and they were shipped out the next day or that night to whatever town you lived in. And y'all remember ordering things like that through the catalog. Well, when I was working there part-time when I was in high school, I was working on the seventh floor. And the seventh floor there of the catalog order warehouse was filled with children's clothing. The whole seventh floor was dedicated to children's clothing. You remember Sears had a big line that was called Winnie the Pooh clothes. And that were real popular. They're real high quality, and the kids loved them, and the parents loved them. And so part of what I had to do, of course, was during the Christmas time, we're restocking all the shelves and keeping the inventory supplied for all the orders that was coming in. But then after Christmas, when Christmas was over, we had to take inventory. Many of you have been in businesses and done that. You know what I'm talking about. You take inventory to start the new year. So we were counting the number of items and the number of sizes of certain items, and we produced these reports showing what was in the inventory of all those children's clothing. That way, when people order things out of the catalog, they can get the orders filled. Inventory that we took, it provided a benchmark to show what was available. What might need to be ordered to continue to have product available for those that make those orders. Pastor, what does that have to do with this sermon? Well, this morning, I think it's important that we take inventory as we venture into this new year, as we venture into a year that is unknown, the new year that gives each of us an opportunity to take spiritual inventory, if you would. We've got to take spiritual inventory to see if our lives have the appropriate spiritual resources in our lives, so that when the trials come and the disappointments come or the frustration or the temptations come, that we're up to the challenge, that we have the spiritual resources within us, being positive, being full of the promises of God. I'll tell you, in the midst of all of this, aren't you thankful that we have hope, don't we? There's only one hope that matters. It's the hope that Jesus is coming again. It's the hope that He's with us now, tomorrow, and every day. That He's there for us, and that He wants us to trust in Him completely as Savior and Lord and Master of every part of our life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Are we thinking positively? Are we thinking on the promises of God? Are we thinking of the things He's there for, done for us over the years, and what He's going to do for us today? Positive Christians, it makes us think and look and listen and talk of the good things of God. We become consumed with thinking and listening and talking and looking for the good things that God has for us. And as a result, when we're doing that, we can't help but be positive believers. So we've looked at being prayerful, being positive. How about this third point, be persevering? Well, that's one of my favorites. Be persevering. Ephesians 6 and 18, watching with all perseverance. You know, you think of troubles and trials and testing. All of those things are going to happen this year. Y'all understand that. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying that's the fallen state of things. That's the world we're living in. Troubles and trials and testings are going to happen. There's an old truth that it takes both bitter and sweet to make a cake. And sometimes it takes both bitter and sweet to make life what it is. And God has put us here, though, that to go through that, that we can keep trusting in Him. But it takes a toughness and it takes perseverance. The Bible speaks of it consistently and regularly. There's a great poem that I love. I will share this with you. It's by Frank Levy Stanton. If you strike a thorn or rose, keep a going. If it fails or if it snows, if it hails or if it snows, keep a going. Tain't no use to sit and whine when the fish ain't on your line. Bait your hook and keep a trying, keep a going. When the weather kills your crop, keep a going. Though 'tis work to reach the top, keep a going. Suppose you're out of every dime, getting broke at any crime, tell the world you're feeling fine, keep a going. When it looks like all is up, keep a going. Drain the sweetness from the cup, keep a going. See the wild birds on the wing, hear the bells that sweetly ring. When you feel like sighing, sing. Keep a going. Boy, there's some good words in that. As believers, we're going to face a lot of stuff, but God is saying, keep a going. Persevere. I'm with you. You're not alone. The importance of staying the course, of not quitting, of not giving up, is found throughout the Bible. In Revelation 5 and 3, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. That means we're going to be stronger because of it. In Hebrews 12 and 11, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That means running that race and not giving up with the determination, God, I'm going to see you someday, and I'm going to serve you with all my heart. James 1 and 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Revelation 2 and 19, I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, and perseverance. And that you are now doing more than you did at first. These messages and the importance of perseverance is not, I will say, it is not a really popular one in this easy does it culture that we have. You know, that's how everything's just made up today. Just easy does it, you know. Doesn't call for persevering. It doesn't call for being strong and continuing. Two times in Christ's message to the four churches in the second chapter of Revelation, Jesus praises perseverance. Listen to what he says will happen if we persevere. It's in Revelation 2 and 10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful, continue, persevere until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2, 25 and 28. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power of the nations, and I will give him the morning star. What a great promise of those that persevere, that continue. So today, so far, we've talked about three P's: being prayerful, being positive, persevering. And so let's look at another one. Be productive. Ephesians 6 and 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know, I'm convinced that there's a lot of Christians that fail to work for God because they refuse to consider the small, sometimes unpleasant tasks that don't bring any attention, don't bring any recognition. A few weeks ago, I made a need available in our church of a young mother and her three children that were desperate for help at Christmas. And so many of you were so generous and kind and brought gifts for the two little girls and the little boy, brought those gifts here to the church, gave money so that we could bless the mother, which we did. I wish you could have seen the tears of that mother's face when we were loading all the packages and gifts and things that we had here at the church for her. And I gave her then a big fat Visa gift card with a lot of money on it to help her and some other things. And it's because some of you cared to do even some of the little things, of going out of your way, spending your time to help this family. I want to thank you for doing that. I'm going to tell you, it really blessed those children and that mother. We're productive. We're productive when we realize that we never, never, never stop learning. Psalm 119 and verse 73, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Some are unable to be a blessing. Some are unable to help as they should because they've stopped learning. They've stopped praying, God, give me this understanding that I can follow you, that I'll learn your commandments. We're productive according to the Word of God. We are productive, according to John 6 and 27, when we labor not for meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures into everlasting life. But what is the Bible saying? That we're going to be productive when we realize what really matters. And it's not the temporary stuff of this world. What really matters are the eternal things. Touching other lives with the good news of Jesus Christ. Blessing others with the hope and the love of Jesus. The things that matter for eternity. I can't imagine, but you know there are some Christians that complain about being bored. I can't imagine. That there's always opportunities to pray. There's always events and things happening in the church. There's opportunities for charity, for volunteering, for letter writing, for calling, for ministry. There's opportunity, there's work that can be done if you're willing and ready to do it. Well, I know I begin today by saying that I wanted to impress upon you the necessity of eating 365 black-eyed peas. And doing that on New Year's Day. And along with that, I was also impressing upon you the necessity of my putting together 365 sermon points, every one of them starting with the letter P. And I notice if I've just finished number 4, I can see some anxiety out there right now. I understand that. Some of you are thinking, we got 361 more to go. But just think about the 4 we've looked at today. Prayerful, positive, persevering, and productive. They're all about eternal values. And the fact is, when you have these 4 P's, you don't have to worry about whether or not you ate 365 black-eyed peas to have good luck. And if you have these 4 P's, you don't have to listen to a sermon with another 361 points that probably won't end until about 11 o'clock tonight. Okay? You don't have to do that. I knew there'd be amens when I said that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Oh, in heaven. So many folks are wasting their lives in temporary stuff. We must give God first place. Oh, let us commit again this year. Father, I give you first place. Jesus, I give you first place. And we must take time, we must make time to be with Him in prayer every single day in this new year of 2023. So today I encourage you, make a fresh new commitment to Jesus today. Make that commitment and say, God, by your grace, I purpose to be prayerful, positive, persevering, and productive. And by God's grace, if you'll do that, if you'll make that prayer and trust Him to help you, and you truly want to, He'll give you the most incredible year you've ever had. You'll see more prayers answered than you've ever imagined. You'll see more lives touched for Jesus. You'll see revival in this church and the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit touching and lifting and blessing and healing and saving people because of your trust and commitment, just remembering that God is with you. So we're going to conclude our worship today. We'll get to that 365 another day. I'm going to ask Sherry and Mike to come forward to help us as we conclude our worship today. There's a great old song that I thought would be real appropriate today, and most of you know it, and it's titled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Would you stand with me today as we conclude our worship? These words are great. I hope you'll sing them and mean them with all your heart as Sherry leads us.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing that last verse one more time with me.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Have you decided to follow Jesus today? Amen. Amen. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for coming and worshiping. I pray that you'll have the most incredible year this year as you follow the Lord and trust the Lord with all your heart. I thank God for His grace and mercies. And we know if we'll just keep trusting in Him, keep looking unto Jesus, amen, that He'll help us, that He'll be with us, that He'll meet the needs in our lives. Aren't you thankful today again that you know Jesus as your Savior? Aren't you thankful for our Savior? Praise God for His wonderful grace today. Brother Mike, would you just close us out in prayer, sir?